Hey there. Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a good day, a good week, a good life. Let's just, you know, go the whole shebang here. Get it all. I'm really happy to talk again with Sue Pike, the animal talker. We've spoken before, and she has some really cool connections we're not going to mention at this very moment, but we'll bring it up a little bit later. Okay. Works with animals, does Reiki, and if you're interested in doing any of that yourself, pay attention because you're going to get some good tips here. So, Sue, thanks for talking with me again. I'm glad you had free time.
Thank you so much, Wendy, and I know the animals are happy that I'm talking to you again as well.
Okay, who's yours, mine, or just the general population?
The general animal population.
I think we might want to narrow it down.
Well, everybody's okay. Happy that I might be giving some people some tips as to what they can do to make their pet's life happier.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. How long? When did you start? What got you in this?
So I started doing Reiki for people in 2001. And after being attuned to Reiki 1 and Reiki 2, I started channeling. It just came to me. And I was doing a lot of work on myself, just clearing out some old garbage that needed to be cleared out. And while this was happening, I started to channel. And I thought, well, if I can channel for people, this was around 2006, then why not for animals? So I just started practicing with friends' pets. And my husband and I were traveling to Utah, and this fellow had some cutting horses, and he actually was having some issues with some of them. So he said, "Will you practice on my horses?" So I did, and information was really helpful for the guy. And so I remember announcing, I walked out of this guy's ranch, and I just stood there in the parking lot, and I said to my husband, "That's it. I'm an animal communicator." And when I came back, I thought, well, maybe I should read some books on this. And it turns out that, yeah, instead of just saying that I am, maybe I should read some books on this. And actually, all the books from animal communicators that have been doing it for a long time, everything that they mentioned to do, I was already automatically doing. So it just basically came to me as a gift. And I do it as other animal communicators do, which is a telepathic mind-to-mind, heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul communication with the animals for a back and forth. And also, in addition to that way of communicating with them and hearing them, I, as a spirit channeler, I also can connect to their spirit guides in case they don't want to talk to me, they're distracted, they might be in surgery or, you know, whatever, and I can get information for the people that way as well. So it's a kind of combination of how I talk to them back and forth.
Who was your first animal, aside from the horses you're talking about? Was there a specific pet?
Yeah, well, our cat, Maxwell, who's now in spirit form, but I worked with him, and then just some friends' cats. I started with cats, actually, because in New York, you know, a lot of people have cats. So I started with cats, and then I worked on a friend's bunny rabbit, and then I worked on a horse. Oh, no, actually a couple dogs. Before doing that trip to Utah, and then I started working with the horses, which I love horses. I mean,
it's a whole different energy. Whew. Yeah, yeah.
They're so powerful.
And trusting, and it's a different energy. I noticed on your blog, the recent post, most recent one was for buffalo.
Oof. Yeah, that was pretty profound, those messages. And if anybody would like to read them, it's on my blog, which is animalchanneler.blogspot.com. And I just thought it was very profound and powerful, considering everything that's going on with the Earth and their messages for everybody.
So part of that, when you're talking about a very, like, almost larger-than-life type of persona with the buffalo and the things that are going on across our country right now with kind of a resettling, a shifting from the political stuff, and then also the water, the information that people are getting on what's happening has begun to become more top of mind and more mainstream media headline friendly, because for a while it wasn't being covered. But the people who are trying to stop the pipeline or at least reroute it or do something have finally gotten some kind of support. And whether the outcome is still unclear, but the Buffalo coming through at this time, I thought was really an interesting piece of the equation.
I started crying when I saw him appear to me. So just to let other people know what I do, for a particular show that I do every month, I prepare by meditating and I ask what animal or animal realms have messages for everybody's highest good, like a global consciousness type of thing. And Buffalo appeared and I got chills, and his messages were very profound. And I just thought it was, again, very timely with what's going on with the land there, because I'm sure a lot of people know, you know, thousands of bison showed up on that land.
Okay, and then for people who don't, because this is a Dakota Access Pipeline, and in the United States, this is a very big issue that has kind of been underplayed, and because it's a little bit more complex, it just hasn't gotten the headlines that maybe it might have at another time due to the politics or whatever's going on. But the Army Corps was basically, that's their land, and they have some kind of jurisdiction over whether this is going to go. And it goes under one of our major rivers, which is the Missouri River, and any kind of issue, fallout, problem, mishap, it could mean damaging the water source for hundreds of thousands of people. And
hundreds
so this
of thousands
isn't
of people. Yeah.
So this isn't just like a little stream. It doesn't, you know, it's a huge issue. And then not only that, there's spiritual, a component of this. The Native Americans are saying this is a sacred space and it's their land. And there's a whole lot of stuff that goes along with this. Well, so that's what's happening. Now, from your end, I just wanted to kind of bring that back, that this is finally getting some mainstream headlines. I'm looking at it right now and seeing that the scores of people have recently been arrested in protests nationwide. Why they're kind of doing the math on this, and it's getting more of the volume is increasing.
Yes.
So
yes.
When you're getting your information and the buffalo came in, when did you see the headline about the buffalo?
Well, I had seen it. Actually, I received these messages before I, was it before? I can, to be honest with you, I don't remember. No, it was after I saw that the bison had come. That's right. And so that's why it was so powerful when this buffalo showed up for these messages for everybody, because I just thought there was a thread to all of it. You know, everything's connected. We're all connected. The animals are connected with us, et cetera, et cetera. The land, the animals, the plants, everybody.
When you get those information, is it a vision or is it telepathy? How does that appear
to you? So when I ask for these messages, first the animal who has the messages for everybody's highest good, they'll appear, and then I just start channeling from them. So I have pen and paper ready, and so my the trick is reading my writing after I get all the messages, because I'm writing ferociously what they're saying to me. So I'm just basically hearing from them what they want me to share to everybody. And it's always different. Some are a little more lighthearted than others, but it's always profound. Whether it's lighthearted or not, it's always profound from many different animals. So I'm always fascinated. And what's been happening lately, except for this time, but the last two times was interesting because I kept seeing many animals, which has never happened before. So they were all like, no, you go ahead. No, you go away. Your message is more important. No, well, let's regroup. Okay, who wants to share the message? And then finally, the animal will appear and have all the messages for me. So that's how I do it. I hear them, and I just start writing, 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 writing. And then they thank me, and then I see them turn around and walk away. So then I know that's it. There's no more messages.
when I get information like this, and it's similar, it comes either in dreams or visions or meditation. But it was really funny recently, the dream, and I haven't, Max was the dog that I bonded with, and I wasn't going to get a dog, and this dog needed a home, and I said, okay, fine, I'll take care of the dog. And my husband at the time said, yeah, right, you're going to get this dog. Oh, no, I'm just taking care of it, I promise. I don't think I promised, but it was like, no, he had five houses he'd gone through, and that was his way to get to me, and he was very, very connected. So he basically was my learning curve for some of this. But at the same time, this dream, going back to what I had just recently, there were the hounds. There were a pack of running hounds, and there were four, and they're charcoal color, that charcoal brown, adults, about two or three adults and two smaller, younger hounds, and they're running, and they run across a place that's like a culvert, a ditch. And my dog, Max, who is in spirit form, followed them. And as he jumped down into the water, which they jumped across a channel, I held him so that he would stand upright and he wouldn't lose his footing. And I thought, isn't it interesting? I'm looking at, and for me, Max was a guardian. Mm-hmm. And so in this position, he still is a guardian. They weren't aggressive. They were just, the hounds were running. Someone had unleashed them, and this has been in the past week. And then Max, the guardian, is going after them to kind of keep tabs on them. I thought, well, how interesting, how, you know, interconnected. Mm-hmm. For me, that was a very strong visual. And it talks about the stuff that we're undergoing right now, the changes, the upheaval, the shifting in directions, and going back to being who you are in your own strength and knowing what your purpose is and operating from that. Instead of, you know, running amok or getting caught up in some of the drama.
Right. Well, I just have to say, just as an aside, I find it fascinating because my cat was Max. So Max the cat and Max the dog, I'm sure they know each other.
I bet they do. And Max loved cats. So
there you go. That's pretty funny. I love that. Yeah. And, you know, they find us. You know, people say, oh, I'm going to go get my next pet or whatever, and they always find us. And like you said, your Max the dog had to go to five different households to find you. So they do that.
My friend, she had a dog recently who passed away, and she's like, no. And people are trying to get her the same dog, the same breed, and all that. And it was so funny because what she now has, even though she had not intended to get a pet very quickly or had narrowed her focus, a rabbit named Buckle. Mm. And the rabbit, she goes, oh, I had no idea they're so smart. Buckle's doing this and Buckle's doing that. And Buckle is just like, oh my. And I met Buckle, and Buckle is a very smart little fella, waiting for her to catch on to some of this stuff. But it's like, you know, so she was going a completely different direction in terms of learning and appreciating the many types of animals and their different ways of communicating that are just as effective, even though they might be much more unexpected. And, you know, you realize, oh my gosh, we all have our unique ways of getting our point across or getting somebody's attention and expanding their horizons.
Yeah, exactly. And interesting, you said getting somebody's attention. It brings to mind a woman I work with, her horse. And her horse actually started bucking. I just talked to her the other day. And he never does. He's a great horse. He's very chill, and he was doing it to get her attention so she would see the doctor. They communicate with us this way as well, to like, hello, you need some help. So she contacted me to find out why he was doing it, and he was doing it because she needed to go to see the doctor. And he knew that I would be able to tell her that, and knew that she had contacted me before. So it was very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, and they know a way of getting somebody to physically transmit the message.
Exactly. Like, okay, where do we got to go now?
When you're dealing with pets, are there some that are easier to connect to for you than others?
Well, it's easier when they're not distracted, clearly. I was recently in Tampa, and this lady brought her cat, and the cat was just like, really? Turned his back. He didn't want anything to do with anything. He just wanted to get out of the little carrier and escape, you know. So, you know.
Imagine like, that.
Why am I here? So it depends on the distraction level of the animal. But no, I pretty much can connect to anybody. And like I said earlier, if they are distracted like that, then I call on their spirit guides to get information to be able to communicate to the person what's happening, what they have a question about, and so we can help whatever the situation is. And apparently this cat had been spraying. She didn't understand why, because he was getting good food and exercise and da-da-da-da. And the reason why was because there were other animals coming out at night, and he was marking his territory.
Mm-hmm.
so I was able to get that information from his spirit guides, but he was just like, yeah, whatever, lady. I want to get out of here.
Yeah. Well, and see, sometimes it's just that simple. It's they have their own... They own their own role that they play in this form, and sometimes we forget about that.
Yes, for sure. And you know, a lot of animals. Well, all animals have their purpose and their job with us. You know, some of them are our protectors. Some of them want us to remember how to connect to our heart, and through them we do, and to open our heart and allow love in, and they are the beginning sometimes for some people to do that. And some animals are with us to remind us to play more, because everybody gets so serious and stuck and they just want to have fun and play. Some animals, I mean, some are fine just chilling out too. You know?
Uh-huh.
A lot of animals actually love to meditate, and so sometimes they're around us to remind us to meditate. And sometimes you might see your animal with their eyes not closed and it's not really open. They're meditating. Animals meditate. They love to. So they want to remind us to reconnect and remember that we can do that as well. Our cat Max used to jump up and look at us and give us this little, like, meow. He didn't meow. He would have this weird, we thought he was just going to start talking English at one point. But, we would sit down and meditate. We had our own spots, my husband and I, and he would sit next to Robert at one point, and then he would sit next to me, and he would, you know, remind us, okay, it's meditation time.
I want to ask quick, while I've got a chance, while you're taking a breath, how is Robert doing?
Robert is amazing. He is actually writing his second book, which was bought by Llewellyn Publishing, which is amazing. And it's due December 1st, so he's busily finishing up the book. I'm very excited.
Okay, and you're sworn to secrecy?
I'm sworn to secrecy. However,
if anybody wants
to check him out, his name is Robert Kopecky, K-O-P-E-C-K-Y. And his first book is How to Survive Life and Death. He had 3 near-death experiences. So if you're interested in that stuff, have a look-see.
Okay, and he's got a blog too.
He has a blog as well. You can go to Art, Faith, and Coco Lion.
I was looking at his cartoons.
Yes.
And okay.
If you just Google Robert Kopecky, all of his stuff will come up.
All right. And
he also
has
an author fan page, Facebook fan page.
Uh-huh.
So you can go there as well.
Okay. Now the deal is, can you share how you guys met?
Yeah, we actually met through friends. We had mutual friends, and I had met him, and I was like, ugh, I don't really like that guy. And we were all hanging out, and it just, you know, it wasn't time. Clearly, it wasn't the time. 2 years later, we re-met. I think it was the same group of friends. I was like, oh my God, he's so smart, he's so funny, I really love him, he's so spiritual, da-da-da. So we were both in different places, and it was clearly the time.
See, that's what's funny.
It's really funny, yeah. Because apparently after we started, you know, we started dating, and it turns out we were in the same places, only different times, so there was a lot of similarities, and it was just, you know, universe is like, okay, ready, go.
Yeah. You had work to do.
Had work to do.
Okay. And if you're listening, he's had more than one near-death experience. That's why it's How to Survive Life and Death. And we do have an interview in the archives. You can check it out. I did interview him. It's probably been a couple years or so, because I think I interviewed him before I interviewed you. And he said, hey, you got to talk to Sue.
And so now, after his book is finished, you can talk to him about the latest one.
You betcha. Of course. It's that I'm like, I'm thrilled. I was like, okay, I got first dibs.
Yeah. I will let him know. I'm sure he'll be excited to talk to you.
Yay. Hey, well, as soon as everything's out of secrecy. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is another spiritual book. And period.
Oh, yeah.
To be continued, .. Stay tuned.
Right. Right. There's the lockdown right there. Okay.
That's right.
It's another spiritual book.
Could I be any more vague? I don't think so.
No, I'm trying to home in on the cat.
Max won't tell either.
Mum's the word.
Exactly.
Mum's the, as in mom.
Right.
The buck stops with mom. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so when you are working and you're both, you know, obviously going in amazing different directions, but you dovetail with your work. Do you step in and help some of the people who are also having these kinds of life and death issues as they go through? Because one of the toughest things is losing a pet. And with his experience as a human going through his own, you know, basically reprogramming process, and yours with dealing with animals and hearing that element, does it help it that both of you can compare your stories and, you know, kind of see how things marry up?
Well, yeah. I mean, the common thread is that we don't die, you know. And so helping people understand that their pet is still with them, it's just in a different form. For example, Maxwell, my cat, after he transitioned, before he transitioned, he would help me with some of my Reiki sessions. I do energy work with people as well as animals. So he would come in and, you know, be around certain people that he knew needed his energy. And now that he's in spirit form, I see him flying in and landing on people's hearts, because that's his job. That was his job, is keeping people's hearts open and working on people with that kind of stuff. So Robert and I know, you know, that's obviously a strong connection. We know that there's more to it than what we're seeing. And our beloved animal partners are always with us. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to help people in this way realize that, first of all, they're not afraid of dying. I mean, they don't really, you know, they're not excited about it, but they don't have the same fears about dying as some people do. And that's what Robert talks about, that there's no real reason to be afraid, because it's just continuing on, just in a different energy, a different form. So, yes, we can be there for each other to help each other, assist other people in their journey of understanding this about different dimensions. It's wonderful.
I guess my questioning was kind of a convoluted way of saying, do you support each other? And obviously you do, but I think it's so wonderful to have a partner who has a similar vantage point with this you don't die stuff.
Right, and because we just get it, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just an understanding that we both get. And so to be able to help people with that, with their animals, is fun too. And, you know, I work with a lot of animals in spirit form, and fascinating, because they're all doing different things. You know, not everybody is doing the same thing. I just talked to a dog yesterday who said that he helps with children when they cross, that his job in spirit form is to help children when they cross feel happy and safe, that, you know, there's dogs here too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then some animals are in what I've heard as spirit school, where they're learning. I talked to a cat the other day who said he's helping animals learn how to actually travel, so they learn how to go through the dimensions to go visit their people and leave signs for the people that they're okay.
When I started doing this, it was the funny, because my channeling stuff was, for me at the time, it's like, oh my gosh, it just opened up so much more information. But they were talking about transmigration of soul, and that we don't have to be the same form every time, and we take many different forms.
Yes.
And part of that is so we can express and experience empathy with with somebody else or something else.
Mm-hmm.
When you're getting somebody's an impression, do you also experience them, and we're going to have to take a break because I got 60 seconds here.
Okay.
You also experience them in some form. Do you have like an animal companion or a totem animal that would appear or appeal to them more directly than even a pet? So I guess we'll take a break. And if you could address that when we come back, that would be another way to look at it too. I'm talking with somebody who can help you if you are trying to learn how to connect with your own pets and make a very, very heartfelt connection. All right, so come back for more with the Animal Talker, Sue Pike.
Kelly Clarkson, and I've toured the country dozens of times, and there's one thing every state has in common: childhood hunger. The sad truth is that 17 million kids don't know where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Yet there are billions of pounds of surplus food around the country at farms and warehouses that could help end this injustice. But all that food is useless if it doesn't get where it needs to go. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids before it goes to waste. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank. Find out how at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60, because great things happen when we live united.
Donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Come on, smile.
Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hope you're having a great day. We're connecting with Sue Pike, the Animal Talker. She also does Reiki and channeling. And if you're looking to make your own connection maybe a little stronger, a little better, or you know, just branch out on what you're doing, you can connect with her, SuePikeEnergy.com. And we also talked about the blog spot earlier. All right, when you talk with people, do you sometimes see like an animal totem that goes with them?
With the person?
Yes.
Not really. No, I don't.
I just wondered. Everybody does it different.
Yeah, no. When the animal is communicating to me whatever messages they have for the person or whatever answers they have from the person, they do it in a way where the person will hear them. Because sometimes, even though somebody's contacting me for information, they may not really want to know the answer. Mm-hmm. So the animal will, in a loving way, say something where the person will open their heart to hear in a heartfelt way. But no, I don't see the person's animal totem. I do find out from the animal if they've been together in other lifetimes, and sometimes they're very specific. Yesterday I talked to someone whose dog was a horse, and she was a man, and they were compadres in the 1800s together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that. And sometimes a cat will talk about loving the water, loving the ocean, loving all this stuff, and used to be on a ship with their person, and, you know, and then the person will reveal, oh, my God, I can't, you know, they actually want to be with us when we're on our boat, you know, stuff like that, you know.
So they have past life memories.
Yes. So it's fascinating.
Well, and the other thing you mentioned, just in reading your information, you do work with lots of different types of energies, and Ascended Masters, Elementals, and ETs comes up in this.
Yes.
All right. So where does that factor in?
Well, that's not with the animal communication. That's with, I do intuitive spiritual guidance sessions with people. And so I have a very strong connection with many different all those things you just mentioned, all those Ascended Masters and Native American. I have a huge Native American chief guide, and I have a big connection with star beings. And so my messages will come from all of them for the people, and, of course, from the people's guides, their guides as well. So it's, you know, combining what I'm getting from their guides and mine, which can come from all those different sources to help that person on their path for their highest good.
Have you done anything to connect with the general state of things right now?
Well, this is what I got the other day. I was meditating and asking for guidance. And what I was told was everything is happening for a reason, and that things need for a shift to occur. Things have to go a certain way for a change to happen on a global level. And so what's important now is for everybody to stay in their truth, in their love, to go into love and not into fear, because love is always stronger than fear. I mean, love is love. And that this is no matter what you believe in, who you voted for or whatever. Right now, things are happening on a rapid basis because it has to happen like this right now for the highest good of everyone, of the planet, of the earth, of the seas, of everything, of everybody. So it's a huge shift that's happening. And while it's happening, it might get scary. You know, things, it's like Mother Earth is acting up. Everything is acting up to be released so we can go back into love. Do I sound like a hippy-dippy drippy?
No.
But basically, that's the message.
I was just seeing the planet doing like a, you know, hippy-hippy shake, you know, that little, yeah okay. Maybe not quite the twist, but one of those little, you know, yeah. Okay. So that was, I was just getting into the moment there of shaking off the stuff. Well, you know, when they come out, they've had a wonderful little bath or a shower, and you see the picture of all these little droplets that go everywhere.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what's happening right now.
The universal shake, basically.
That is about darn time.
Yeah. And so it's really important. whatever you've been wanting to manifest or wanting to do, wanting to just, your heart is just, I really want to write. I really want to, you know, work with the animals. I really, you know, whatever it is, whatever your passion, whatever your heart is telling you, guiding you. Sometimes people get hit over the head, like my husband a few times.
Speaking of that, yes.
Like, literally.
And he didn't get it the first time. It took a couple times.
No, he didn't. But, you know, sometimes it takes longer than others. So that's what I've been hearing from my guides. And I have a star being that I work with who doesn't have a name. It wants to be called Spirity. So I call it Spirity or Spirit. Spirity is a light being, is a star being. And, you know, it just reminds me to just stay on my path and help people do that for themselves. And everything has a ripple effect. So if we're staying in the love, we're staying in the positive, and we're really truly doing our parts to help the planet, which inevitably helps the animals, then it's a win-win. And so even a little thing, I mean, even if you're walking down the street, you see trash, pick it up, throw it out later, you know, recycle, do whatever you can, and stay in love.
One of my favorite things is that little video they had of the elephant at the park. And I don't know if you've seen it, but the elephant is walking slowly up toward the camera.
Oh, yes!
Yes, and there's a trash can there, and right about 5-8 feet away from the trash can, which is a typical person kind of thing, close but not quite, the elephant picks it up, goes over, and deposits it in the trash, and you think, wow, if they can do that, then we ought to be able to do a little bit better.
Hello, everybody.
Even the elephant knows where the trash is supposed to go, in the can, not beside it. Beside it is not going to count as a slam dunk or any points, okay?
Yeah. Exactly.
But there's so much now. I like what I'm seeing from the animal community, from people who are caretakers, who are conservationists, who are protectors, who are concerned one way or another, and beginning to put dots together on how they're already in some way, shape, or form receiving information. And it's like my girlfriend who, she wasn't looking for a rabbit, but when she got the rabbit, she was astounded at how connected the rabbit was, because she had never even considered a rabbit as a pet. And I know people who've had rabbits and they swear, oh, yeah. But until you have this experience yourself and your pet is homed in on you going, see, it doesn't register. And I'm seeing more of those things registering now, where people are seeing, they're noticing.
Yes, there's definitely an awakening that I've seen since I started doing this. And a lot of times people actually, they're calling me, but they know the answers already. They just need somebody to say what they've already known about their animal.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It's definitely awakening, and it's wonderful. Finally, yay.
Well, there's a level of security when you are, somebody validates your message and you realize, oh, wow, I did hear that. It is happening. Yes. There's a lot of self-doubt that when you first start doing this, it's just right there front and center. Oh, I'm just imagining it. I'm making it up. I'm projecting. And you have to get over those hurdles.
Well, I had to. I experienced that when I started. Am I really hearing this? Am I making this up? And so telling the person what I was getting and having them say, yes, that's exactly right. Fluffy likes blah, 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 you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important for us to support each other in even small ways, whatever that is, to guide each other and help each other and build that confidence that we're not making this stuff up. And also, animals that visit us that have crossed, there's some people that say, I just worked with somebody the other day, a couple days ago, who said, I can't believe my dog hasn't visited. And the dog said, well, actually, I have, and this is where I've been, and I think you want me to just plop down on that pillow by your head like I used to do when I was alive, and this is where I've been, and I will, you know, plop down on the pillow if you want me to. So she emails me the next day and says, actually, her husband felt the animal in the kitchen where the animal said it was, and that it was visiting.
And
the dog kept saying, "You have a sense of smell, and I feel like you've smelt me around." And she did, but she didn't believe it. She didn't trust it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was nice to be able to tell her, yes, 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 you are right. You're not making it up. And I tell people, if you feel like a brush against your ankle, or you sense or smell or feel your beloved animal that's transitioned, it is them. Trust that. You can keep a notebook, what I used to do, of the feelings and impressions I got. And then the more you get and the more confirmations you get from people, then the more you'll start trusting it.
When you work with people, do you help them open up to their senses?
Yes. Yes. I teach people how to connect. And really, the best way to do any of this, which what I do all the time, is meditate. When you get out of your ego mind and get into your heart space and your higher self, that's when you open up. And that's when you start, for me, that's how I started opening up. And trusting, I teach classes on it as well, you know, how to connect with that part of yourself.
Now, I looked on your page. Yeah, you do phone as well, so this isn't like you have to go somewhere. Somebody can also just call in.
Oh, no. Yeah, I do sessions all over on the phone. Mm-hmm. It's a phone call away, darling. But yeah, it's beautiful stuff, you know?
That's what's helpful, though, is that when somebody's really interested and needs some kind of affirmation, that there is a place now that you can go and talk to people who do this, and there are more opportunities, and it's more, in a lot of ways, supported because of this growing interest and growing, I think, proof, growing validation. That people aren't making it up, that they're getting responses. And the animals, when you watch their behavior around someone who's a communicator or somebody who's tuning in, the animal will usually give you a response, and you can see that this is happening.
Yes. Yes, I did a fundraiser here in New York, and this woman said, "I don't know, I want you to talk to him, but he's not really friendly, and I don't think he's going to say anything." And he just came right over, sat on my lap. Like, what? And he had all these messages, and, you know, he told her to stop saying those things about him. And
Okay, let me get one thing straight, okay?
Okay, let me just,
respect.
Yeah.
Respect.
Stop saying that.
Okay. And we'll chat.
Yes, exactly. You know, the other thing I think is important, I feel like it's important to say, I keep getting to mention this, is, you know, a lot of people project their own fears and things on their animals. And so remember that our animals are little energy sponges. So however we're thinking and feeling, they're picking up on all of that stuff. In fact, I had a friend whose dog ran away because she was thinking about getting another dog, but he didn't hear the part that she was getting it for him. She thought he was lonely, you know, whatever, whatever. So he left because he thought he was being replaced and she didn't want him anymore. So they do understand a lot more than people think they do. And it's always important to focus on what we love about them, what makes us happy with them, and all of that stuff. Because if you're concentrating on bad behaviors, etc., sometimes they do it because they think that's what we want. They don't understand it's not.
So one of the best times that I saw how quickly my thoughts were being interpreted by the animal I was around. It was a bird. And I was looking at the bird. The bird's looking at me, and I've got my finger up, you know, like sit on the finger or hey, whatever, but my finger's out there. And I realized at that very moment, we have this eye contact. I'm thinking, you're going to bite me. And I realized, I just told the bird to bite me because
yes.
It couldn't tell the difference between me going a fear, a projection, or, you know, whether I'm picking up on a thought or, but because I manifested that particular sentence, like, so I pulled my finger back before the bird complied
like,
with my directive.
Good thing you realized it in time.
Well, it was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. That's where I realized how powerful our thoughts are. And when they pick up, as the bird was doing, because I knew from the behavior and all that, I was, you know, seconds away from having my wish granted.
Right. And exactly. It's so imperative to know that they really pick up on all of that stuff. So it doesn't matter what you're saying, it's actually what you're thinking. And I had this dog, for example, it was like, I think a year or two ago, where he actually had an accident. He pooped next to the bed because he couldn't make it outside. He had a little dog door, but he couldn't make it outside. And he did it twice. And so the man, every day for 45 minutes, was thinking, is there going to be poop next to my bed? I wonder if the dog pooped next to the bed. I'm going to go home and see poop next to the bed.
Oh, there's the message. Yeah, there's the programming.
So guess what? The dog was pooping next to the bed for days and days and days. And the first two times, it was an accident. But then he's like, oh, he likes me doing it.
Yeah, he knows where it is.
So he thought he was actually pleasing his person by doing it. So when I told the guy this, he's like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to stop. I'm like, yeah. He stopped thinking that, and the dog stopped.
Yeah.
Hello.
Light
makes
bulb.
Makes me really happy when you poop outside. Oh, okay. So the
But see, that's what people, I think, are hesitant to buy into, because it's so subtle and it's so easy.
Yes. It's not that complicated.
So the telepathy is the word, and we are much better at that telepathy thing than we have been given credit, or that we've even acknowledged. And so this is where it comes in really strong, when your animals are saying, yeah, I got it. I got it. Are you sure?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, so this is something I think you're doing in terms of all the work that you do, the varieties of services that you provide, help people connect, not just with their pets, but with their own best interests, their own heart, to be able to expand on what they already know.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of animals our animals are concerned about us. They, a lot of times, are telling their people, I want you to play more, not just with me, but in general. They're telling their people, I want you to meditate. What they'll say is, you're having too many thoughts in your brain part. And, you know, it's so funny the way they say. And so I want you to relax more. It makes me relax when you're relaxed. So remember, they are energy sponges. So I had this one woman. She was so funny. She was up and down, running around. Do you want something to drink? Do you want something to eat? Blah, 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 blah. And she's running around. Blah, blah. And she said, I really don't know why my dog is so hyper.
I am like, whoa.
Really?
Man. Yeah, I got dizzy just listening.
I know, exactly. So when you're chillaxed, they're chillaxed. When you're doing well, they're doing well. So that's why they are our great teachers. What is it in my life that I need to do or shift or change, maybe, even if it's just slightly, that can benefit not just me, but my pet? I like to call them animal partners. I don't really like the word pet because it sounds like, because they are our partners. You know, what are they teaching us? What do we need to learn from them? Let's see what we can do for them, not, you know, what can they do for us all the time.
There are two issues that always come up when it comes to pets. With cats, it's inappropriate potty. With dogs, it's inappropriate barking. And both of those are tools that animals use to get our attention.
Exactly. Or like that woman horse bucking the other day.
Yes.
I always tell people, especially with the cat issue, first to go to the vet to make sure it's not crystals or something that's, you know, really bothering them physically, because it could be a dangerous situation if it is something serious like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't pick up anything, then we go to the root of the problem, like what is happening. And sometimes they do that not just to get our attention about things we need to shift in ourselves, but also because they aren't feeling well. And so sometimes an animal will, quote unquote, act up, because they're actually not feeling well. And the only way they can say, hello, I'm not feeling well,
is to,
you know, tear the place apart or bark incessantly or whatever it is that they're doing to get our attention.
See, some of that, too, is especially with the barking. I don't want my dogs not to bark when it's important. And so there's this rule of, okay, a couple barks were okay. And after that, then there's some kind of response.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I work out agreements. Like, what is the animal? So it's all about compromise. What is the person willing to compromise? You know, is it okay if they do, the dog does two, sometimes the dog will say, maybe three, So it's all about negotiation,
Two barks for a person, three barks for another dog. There we go.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Intruder, that's four,
Yeah, that's a bite.
That's right.
Bite.
The other thing I'm feeling it's important for people to know is animals know days in sunrises and sunsets. And so when we're going away, your animal, we've been talking about the trip, we're planning the trip, we're thinking about the trip, so they're picking up on all of that stuff. So sometimes your animal will start acting funny a few days before you even break out your suitcase. So start telling them they're a part of the family. They are a family member. Let them know we're going to be going away in four sunsets for three sunsets. And then you do a countdown, and three sunsets will be gone for three sunsets. So every day you're letting them know, because a lot of animals tell me, I need to know. I like structure, especially cats.
Okay.
I need structure. I need to figure out who's feeding me, what's happening. So tell them.
Okay, you want to hear what happens when you don't carry through on what you promised? We had an agreement. We're going away. I said 3 days, and we'll be back. The cat. And Chloe's like, oh, well, okay, fine.
Right.
You're taking the dogs. Good. I got the house to myself. Well, okay. My husband said, just one more night. It's okay. She'll be fine. It's okay. I'm like, this isn't going to work. I'm feeling really guilty and really bad because I had said three. We came home, and on his pillow was a little spot on his pillow on the bed from the cat who said, you broke mom's promise. You are in the doghouse. Hasn't done it since, but that was a direct, she knew it was him, and he broke the deal. And next time, I'm sure if I do it again, it'll be on my pillow because I will have allowed him to get by with problem number one again. Okay.
Right.
So that is a very effective way when we are dealing with our pets for them to say, you gave me a promise. You gave me your word. You told me this, and then you changed the deal. Well, then I changed mine too.
Yep. And that's the same thing too. When you tell your pet, I promise I'll go to the doctor and get my knees checked out, you better go to the doctor and get your knees checked out, because guess what? They'll know if you haven't. The issue is, they know. They know.
It's like, just remember, you are living with Santa Claus. All right? Things happen. Santa knows.
That's right. There's no getting by it.
May not be visible, but Santa knows.
So, exactly.
I know you travel. Do you have any events coming up or anything else going on right now you want to remind people about?
No. I just got back from Tampa. It was an amazing trip. I did a lot of pet readings there and worked with people. So I haven't plan the next one yet. I know I'm teaching a Reiki 2 class, and then I'll be teaching a Reiki 1 class, teaching Reiki 2 in December, but it's full. So I'm teaching a Reiki 1 class probably in January, just to start the new year fresh. So get some more people out there to spread the love, which is what the planet needs right now.
Yes.
And if you are a Reiki 2 practitioner, remember that you can send Reiki, just a gentle reminder, because I know for me, I need to be reminded that you can send Reiki to the earth through time, space, and all directions anytime, the seas, whoever, wherever, the land. And so I suggest and recommend that for all the Reiki 2 practitioners out there that can do distant healing.
Okay, and for the Robert Kopecky book that we cannot talk very much about, except to say that it's coming, book number 2 after the How to Survive Life and Death, okay, A Guide for Happiness in This World and Beyond. Okay, well, apparently we're getting more from the beyond.
Yes. It's a very spiritual book, and it's going to be very helpful, and may I say it's going to be very timely.
Ah, okay. All right. And the cat is still mum.
Yes.
Okay. So
I pretty much update my blog more than my website. I'm kind of bad at. I'm actually redoing my website. So if you want to know upcoming events, I probably will post it on my blog, which is animalchanneler.blogspot.com. Of course, you can always go to my website, but supikeenergy.com.
Okay, yeah, you usually post about once a week on your blog.
Yeah, it depends on how busy. Yeah, I think I just, there's some more things that I'm getting to post soon, so.
Okay, so that's another tease. See, it's between the book and the book and the blog. Believe me, I know how that goes.
Yes.
Okay, so any parting words? Is there an animal that beyond the one that you put on, is there one for this moment, when whatever time that someone would happen to tune in? You got 60 seconds.
To trust your gut, love your animal, listen to them, open your heart.
Oh, that was good. With room to spare. All right.
And that you can do it. Anybody can be an animal communicator. It's just about being patient, quieting your ego mind, meditating, opening up.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Sue Pike, the animal talker, animal communicator, Reiki master, spirit channeler. Got the whole shebang there. All right. Thank you for talking with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Wendy.
And thank you for listening, too. You can check out all the information on her blog, on her website, on my website eventually, because, yeah, I got to update it, too. Okay. So it's just always a work in progress. And you are also a work in progress. So take a few tips here. Open your mind and your heart and listen. You might be surprised. Definitely. Your effort is appreciated. Till next time, stay curious and positive. See ya.